promotion charge, which everybody thought was going to happen, non-existent.
Oh, yeah. That's spot on, I'll give you that.
Oh, I'm winning at the moment by a lot.
Hello and welcome back to this EFL at URN episode number 9 now, nearly a 10, nearly approaching. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Harry Waring, and I'm joined by Luke Green again. How are you today, Luke?
I'm feeling very happy.
Yeah?
Not about my Wi-Fi problems, but about Shrewsbury Town.
Yeah, and so you should be. It was a good 2-1 win for you over Burton.
No, we didn't play well, but...
Yeah, but you take the win. So obviously, this weekend, due to international games, there was no championship action, and also four games in League One being postponed. However, there was still a lot of football played, especially in League Two, and some standout games in League One as well. So don't you worry, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to jump in, as usual. We don't like to mess around and wait. Straight into League Two. And we're going to go to Doncaster. In this game, Doncaster won 4-1 over Crawley Town. And it's sort of a game that stands out most in League Two this weekend, just purely because there was 5 goals. Do you want to take us through what happened?
Yeah, so 4-1 to Doncaster against Crawley. Obviously, why are footballers' names getting so much harder to pronounce?
I get what you mean. We have one every week now.
Alowu on the 40th minute, Miller 59th, and on the 67th, and Hurst on the 83rd for Doncaster, and a little consolation goal for Crawley on the 42nd, scored by Tilly. Yeah, things not going ideally for Crawley on and off the pitch. Their owners wanted them to be promoted this season. However, their owners have failed to be good owners, and do not know what they're doing. Would you think that's a fair thing to say?
Yes. As I said in the... I think I'll take us all the way back to either episode 1 or 2 now. I got very excited over the signing of Dom Telford, and I was I was along the lines of saying he's the one that they needed. But yeah, sat 22nd in the league now, you know, picking up 6 points. They've got a goal difference of minus 8 already as well. It's not looking good. And is promotion on the cards? No.
Not when you're conceding. I mean, not when you conceded 4 against Doncaster. And also when your Twitter is saying that you're scouting at the Sidemen charity match.
Oh, yes, that was...
Which means that they are definitely going to try and sign... One of them, just for PR, because that's what it's all about for these owners. They just want good PR, and they're not getting it on the pitch, so they're trying to get it off it, even though, like, it was a failed attempt a couple of years ago. Not with these owners, but was it Mark Wright that they signed a couple of years ago? He played, like, twice or something like that. But, yeah, I think they're trying to go for Mark Wright number 2, but someone who has a bigger following, so they get more Twitter followers and more Instagram followers or TikTok followers. So yeah, that's all these owners seem to think about, and yeah, it's not going well.
No, yeah, that's spot on, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
On the reverse side though, Doncaster now 9th. Obviously they were in the playoffs a few weeks ago, but they've sort of slipped out. It's good for them to get 3 points. It moves them just 1 point off 7th place, the last place of the playoffs. Do you think this is going to be, you know, I ask this question every week about different teams, but do you think this is going to be in another 36 games time? Do you think they'll be around this position or?
I think they'll be, yeah, probably top 8, I would have thought. I think the last 3 games, they've faced really hard teams. Teams that will be above them before, obviously, the Crawley game, but in the table by the end of the season, like Barrow, Mansfield and Swindon. You would have thought all 3 teams challenger for playoffs at the moment and automatics. So, I mean, it's not been a really fair test for them in the last 3 games. But I think this against Crawley does show that they are a really decent team, even though Crawley are not decent.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, the next game we're going to move to then is Mansfield Town versus Crewe. Mansfield, you know, they're on the little... little bit of a good form at the moment, especially after beating Crewe 2-1. Two very late goals for them, actually. Goals from Swan in the 87th and then Oliver Hawkins in the 93rd. It sees Mansfield now climb up to sixth. You know, a few weeks ago we were saying they need to get over that, you know, playoff loss at the final at Wembley to Port Vale. They need to get over that and start picking up the points, and that, you know, that's definitely what they're doing now, climbing up the table. Do you think they're going to keep climbing, or is this a form going to come to an end?
Well, they're now four unbeaten in the league, I think. So I definitely think that this form will continue, because they are a really good squad, especially with players like... which one's them? Oh, Akins is good, isn't he? He didn't have his best game for them at the weekend. But no, they've got McLaughlin, Maris, Clark, Hawkins, who scored in this match. So they've got a pretty good squad. And they've got talent off the bench with Wallace and Law, who both got assists in this game, and Swan, who got the winning goal in this match. So, yeah, their squad looks very balanced and stacked, really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. There's one player that stands out, obviously picks up a goal, is Ollie Hawkins. A couple of seasons ago, I don't know if you remember, he used to start up front for Portsmouth, and now they've converted him to a centre-back.
That's a very odd conversion. It's like, what, bring it back to FIFA again, it's like one of them cards that you... Like,
you make your goalkeeper a striker.
Yeah, like they did at the end of FIFA last year.
Yeah.
That's so odd.
It seems to be going well, though, because he played there last season and, you know, he stayed there. He sat in the centre of the back three.
He scored 11 goals in 54 matches too, which is pretty good for a centre-back.
Yes, definitely.
So he's still got that striker's... whatever it's called. Striker's...
instinct.
Instinct, yes.
And then on the reverse side, if we look at Crewe quickly, they're now sat 11th in the table. To be honest, I think that's where they should be. You know, they're a team that a few years ago did really well just because of how many, you know, sort of academy prospects they have. Talk about like Charlie Kirk or Perry NG. You know, these are good players that have left them and it's sort of, you know, taken its toll on Crewe. They haven't reinvested the money. And but yeah, I would say for me, 11th is where they should be. Do you agree, or am I waffling?
Yeah, I don't think they have the facilities in the squad to challenge any higher, really. I don't think they really have the crowds to back them either, because I was watching the game against, well, not the highlights, obviously, the 10-minute one. And obviously Crewe at their stadium, they have that massive stand. And then the rest of them are basically terraced, or old terraces that have been converted to seats. And it's a really odd ground, and I'm probably going a bit off topic, but that stadium does not feel full or anywhere near halfway full half the time. So that could be a big problem for Crewe, because I know they'd lose fans going down a division, but you would have thought, fans would want to stay with them, but it doesn't seem like they are to a great extent.
Yeah, and as an MK Dons fan, you know, I know what an empty stadium feels like. And you know, teams like Crewe, especially in League Two, you go to, I don't know, grounds which have got 10,000 fans, and they will be full. So it sort of gives you that home buzz. And as you said, if they've got an empty ground, you know, it's not going to be ideal. You need your fans to get behind you, and sort of,
yeah,
that gives you an extra, 100%, I would say.
Yeah, because it was attendance of 4,942, which is all right for League Two, but with that bigger stadium that Crewe have and Mansfield being relatively close, bringing quite a number of fans as well, it is a bit like last year they would have got 6,000 probably a game, but it doesn't seem like the masses have stuck with them, really.
Definitely. Right, let's keep on pushing. Another game we should probably look at is Leighton Orient versus Barrow. Leighton Orient won this game 2-0. Goals from Smith and El Mazzuni. And obviously Barrow picking up a red card for Kay. This sees Barrow drop out the top three, and they've had a fantastic start. Bloody hell. They've had a fantastic start. But Leighton Orient remaining unbeaten in the league, sat first, and they're already 5 points clear at the top of the table. I guess we'll talk about them, you know, because how well have they done?
Yeah, they're probably one of the most informed teams in the whole country, even if not the world. At this point, only dropping 2 points in 10 games is unbelievable, really. And I mean, I know both goals came from long-range shots, against Barrow, but it does look like they relatively controlled the game.
Yeah, no, yes, I completely agree. And even though Barrow lost, you know, still sat fourth, nobody really saw that at the start of the season. So I think this game, you know, obviously coming up against such a strong team in Leyton Orient, I think we just need to, they just need to forget about that and continue, and hopefully it doesn't affect their form too much. Another game in the league then, we got Bradford versus AFC Wimbledon, two sort of big teams in this league, and it ended up being a 2-2 draw. Luke, do you just want to run us through this game?
Yeah, well, at the start of this game, you would have thought Bradford clear favourites, as their league position would have told you. And they obviously started off really well in this match with Banks scoring in the fourth minute. But then Wimbledon did get back into it in the second half, with Pell scoring in the 58th minute and Chislett scoring in the 76th minute. And it looked like Wimbledon were going to win this game until one man who we've spoken about before on this podcast, Verdane Oliver, comes to the party in the 95th minute. And it's bullet header, something you'd expect from Verdane Oliver. What he's done in League One for the last few seasons, really. He's just done really well. And yeah, he's finally getting the minute. I wouldn't say minutes, but he came off the bench and it just shows how good a squad Bradford have. Because if you leave him, who can do that amount of goodness in a game, out to the start, then you would have had a really good squad, you would have thought.
Oh yeah, no, spot on. Wimbledon, on the other hand, so they're currently 16th in the table. That's quite low for, you know, for a team that's just been relegated. Do you think that's still playing on their minds? Because, you know,
I mean, they've only won two games this season, which is better than they did in the whole of 2022 in League One. And I don't think they've won one away game in 2022. So obviously away is not great for them, and I think they've lost. This is might be the first point they've taken away this season. I'll have a look, actually. Yeah, the one win came in this game, not in this game, in this season for Wimbledon away. Obviously they didn't win any games in 2022 in League One, and they're doing all right away. I think they're doing better than they are at home. Winning one, drawing two, losing three, which puts them around about 13th in the table on away form. So it's just been underwhelming for me, for Wimbledon.
Yeah, they had such a poor run of form last year. You know, maybe dropping down the level you were expecting. I was definitely expecting them not to be, obviously, around the playoffs, but just to be a bit, I wouldn't say better, but that's a bit harsh, you know, just be a bit higher up the table.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they can win games that well. Like only winning two in 10, which is 20% win rate. Maths,
quick maths.
So, yeah, that's like relegation-ish form.
Yeah.
They do back it up with three draws, but draws don't really get you up the table, do they?
So. No, we've seen a few teams struggle. We've only been able to pick up points. One team that has been struggling, this is a very good link by me here to see how I did that. One team that has been struggling is Rochdale. However, you know, first win of the season. You know, a 1-0 win over Colchester at the weekend. It sees a move off bottom as well. And it's the goal is scored by Rodney, who I remember us talking about in episode 8 last week.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Good to see him on the score sheet. He scored a penalty, but, you know, could this... Well, I always ask a silly question like this. Could this be the turning point? But, you know, new manager's in, he's implemented his ideas, and they've got the first win. How important is that now?
Well, it wasn't pretty. I can tell you that. I watched the highlights, and there was a last-minute penalty save from Rochdale. So they could have easily drawn that game, and then all the positivity is gone then. But that is one that Rochdale would definitely target to win, because they're playing Colchester, who are in the relegation battle with them. So it is pretty good that they've won it. But it wasn't convincing at all.
No, as you just said there, Colchester had 65% possession. They only had one shot on target, though, with Rochdale having six on target. So maybe that could be...
Yeah, so Colchester's one shot on target was the penalty.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's not ideal, is it?
No.
Where are Colchester in the league?
21st.
21st in the league. So this is definitely a bottom end scrap. Very crucial 3 points for Rochdale there, closing in on Colchester. They're only a point behind Colchester now after that woeful start that they've had. Should we focus on Colchester a little bit, seeing as we've got more time today? What do you think's been going wrong for them?
I don't really know. Well, they don't really have that. They're a bit like Crewe in League One last year. They've lost all their young talent and they haven't really produced any more in the last couple of years because their young talent in previous League Two campaigns is what they've dedicated most of their budget on and what they've like really stayed up on, really. These young, exciting prospects, but they don't really seem to have them anymore, and that might be one major reason why they're in a relegation battle.
Yeah, but they've got a few standout players still. Matty Longstaff, for example, he's lining up in midfield.
Yeah.
And they've got Noah Chilvers, who's, I think he's one of their youth academy players. I've definitely heard of him round in League Two. And they've got Beryl Lubala, who used to be of Crawley Town and obviously got bought by Blackpool and has been loaned out this year to Colchester. So, yeah, it's something's going wrong there for me. And I wouldn't say they need... Well, if you start with Freddie Sears down the middle up front and he's a winger, it's little things like that. Who was their striker that they used to have? They used to have a massive striker.
Can't remember.
Was it Noble? It might have been Noble. But yeah, you know, not starting him down the middle up front. You know, small changes. We can sort of clutch it into try and put a finger on it. I'm sure if, you know, a Colchester fan wants to get in touch, if you're listening, that'd be great.
To tell us what's going wrong.
Yeah.
This Noble, he's been to Colchester 4 times in his career.
It calls it home.
Yeah, as a free transfer in 2018, then on loan in January 2021, and then as a free transfer in 2021, and then he's back from his loan in 2022. He went to Leyton Orient last year, see him, and he was also at Plymouth. That might be when they were League Two, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. League One strikers, he's not one of them, is he? They've got Jeffcott and... Well, no, Jeffcott's not there this year.
Jeffcott isn't. Who else is?
What's his name? Niall Harris. Who's that little lad? Ryan Hardy.
Hardy, yeah, that's him.
But anyway, I think we'll leave that game there. Do you want to run us through the rest of the scores?
Yeah, I will. Obviously, Saturday, 24th September, match day 10. Match day 10 or 11 for League 2.
I think it was... I'm going to say 10. No, League 2 were a game behind, aren't they? It was match day 10.
Yeah, match day 10. I think Championship were on match day 11.
Yes.
Yeah. So Northampton 2, Stockport County 1. Stockport County's promotion charge, which everybody thought was going to happen, non-existent. Barrow 0, Leyton Orient 2, Bradford 2, Wimbledon 2, Colchester 0, Rochdale 1, Crewe 1, Mansfield 2, Doncaster 4, Crawley 1, Grimsby 1, Swindon 2, Hartlepool 0, Gillingham 0, Newport 1, Carlisle 1, Stevenage 1, Harrogate Town 0, Sutton United 1, Salford 2, Walsall 0, and Tranmere 1. And that really wraps up. Not many big scoring games.
No, it's most likely the Doncaster game that stands out. Five goals there. But apart from that, not a lot of action.
No.
Little question for you. Yeah. What is the biggest stadium you've ever been to?
Ever been to?
Yeah. In person. I'm not on about, I've watched Old Trafford on TV.
Yeah, but is it for a match?
We'll do two. We'll say for a match and then not for a match.
For a match, Old Trafford.
Oh, yeah?
No, not for a match. No, for a tour, Old Trafford.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
And for a match, Anfield, I think.
Yeah, was that good?
No, enjoy it. I don't like Anfield.
It's too busy.
Well, it is busy. The first time I went, they ran out of sausage rolls at half time.
Oh, man.
It wasn't great. There's literally no sitting room either. It's not great.
It's not great.
It's not great for away fans, I don't think, no. Old Trafford's just massive. I can't really think.
I went to Old Trafford when I was younger, and yeah. I think I watched the Team GB game, you know, when the Olympics was in 2012.
Nice. Yeah.
But that was all right. My only problem with Old Trafford is the seats at the very, very top of the ground. I didn't sit there, but
were you scared?
No, I wasn't scared. Oh, okay. The seats at the very top of the ground, you can't really see the pitch because you've got the roof sort of cutting you off. So they had TVs up, I saw.
That's a bit odd.
Yeah. No, yeah, that is not ideal. Right then, let's just move on to League One. As I've already mentioned, four games were obviously not played due to international call-ups. So I think the first game we'll go to is the game which was covered by Sky.
Yeah.
Actually, this weekend. There were two League One games covered by Sky, but the first one was Forest Green Rovers versus Exeter City, which saw Exeter win 4-0. A goal from Sam Nombe and a hat-trick for Brown. Two of them being penalties. How well, you know, Exeter have had quite a good start. So, the question is, will they stay in the same position?
Will they stay in the same
position? Same league position. Sorry, I haven't mentioned where
they are. What, for the rest of the season?
What do you reckon they can hold on to around a 10th sort of place? You know, that sort of top end, middle table?
I think they are good enough to be mid-table, I think, this season. They've obviously had a bit of a setback the last couple of games against Shrewsbury and then Burton. But Burton had a new manager in Dino. Dino Dino. So, I mean, obviously you'd expect a bit of a bounce back from Burton. And Burton, this week, have also played really well. But, yeah, Exeter, probably doing what you expected to do. Beating Forest Green, who don't look a great outfit for League One at the moment, anyway. Especially when you're losing 4-0 against one of the teams that you got promoted with as well. I think, obviously, Brown played well this match. He's obviously had two penalties, which does suggest that Forest Green's defending is not great.
No, yes. Yeah, spot on, you know. Forest Green, they've already got a minus 14 goal difference, which is sort of crazy to be saying after 10 games.
Yeah, it just suggests as well that they don't score many goals.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not looking good at Forest Green. Obviously, losing their manager, Rob Edwards, to Watford. He's been sacked today, actually.
Yeah, who expected that, boys?
Yeah, but we'll focus on that a bit later on. But, you know, it's not looking good. And as you just said, you know, again, losing 4-0 to a team that not only did they get promoted with, they sort of went toe-to-toe with them last year in League 2.
Yeah.
Forest Green won the league, didn't they? So.
Yeah, but obviously they've lost a few players along the way.
Yeah, but then again, you know, there needs to be some changes, and I think they need to start praying for January to come around the corner.
Yeah. Ian Birchinell is now on the very thin ice, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, coming from Notts County, and he didn't get Notts County promoted, so I don't really think that deserved a move two leagues up. So, yeah, he's not well experienced at League 2, League 1, even less at League 2. And so, yeah, I think a lot of fans might be calling for his head now. I saw it a few weeks ago when we beat them, that they were calling for his head. But obviously they beat Accrington in the meantime. But yeah, it's really not looking good for them because they're where they're expected to be. But their performances have been worse than what we expected.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. We all expect them to be, you know, sort of lower down. But 4-0, for me, that was never really on the cards.
What I do want to say about this match is that it was on Sky, wasn't it? So it just showed the quality of League One. And maybe, I think this, surely League One and Two should have a different rights deal to the Championship. Because, you know, in the last month, I think for October, Sky released all their EFL games.
Yeah.
Guess how many League One and Two games they are showing on TV?
Oh, probably just these two for the whole year.
No, for October.
October?
Yeah.
None?
Yes. And obviously, this game, entertaining. Yeah. The Plymouth-Ipswich game, amazing quality. So it just shows that League 1 and 2, they should really have a different licensing. Either it should be on BBC, that'd be nice, like it is in the FA Cup, or go to BT or something like that, because realistically, fans should be able to see it. Well, of course, not 3 o'clock games because that would damage football.
But you know,
Ryan Reynolds doesn't understand. But
I totally agree. It's sort of, you know, the amount of Championship games you see. How many times have you seen a team like Sunderland or Swansea on the telly at the weekend now, And I understand what you're saying. We're not basically saying change the games that you play Fridays to get them on TV, but
no, maybe like one or two a week are on at like 12:30 on a Saturday. Oh, something else. Actually, I might go off topic here, but Mansfield have asked for all their games to be played at 12 o'clock.
Have they?
They have. This is mainly due to the energy bills, which would come with floodlights.
Oh.
So I think the Mail reported that our CEO said that our energy bills last year were 100,000 for the season, and this year they're expected to be 200,000, and that's basically just for the floodlights, basically. So
that's quite a lot of money to be for a lower league team as well.
Yeah, these energy bills are going to hit teams really hard. So I wouldn't be surprised if more teams would follow Mansfield, even though I think it obviously has negatives playing at 12 o'clock. Like, not as many people would be able to come because they're either like taking their kids for a football match in the morning or working, or basically people have just been grown used to having games at 3 o'clock, so they've like really shaped their lives around it. And I don't think lots of people can really change their lives like in a click of fingers. So it could be, I mean, it's obviously to save money, but in the long run it might not, because attendances might drop. But we'll have to keep an eye on Mansfield, because I mean they're going to be the first ones to do it, although they do have to get the other team to agree to it as well, which might not happen.
Yeah, some teams might say no just to, you know, be, well, not spiteful, but...
Yeah, but it's just the change of routine for footballers as well, because they're obviously used to doing things at a certain time, like training, like going onto the pitch at 2:30 and training and stuff, and having the lunch at 12 or 1 o'clock or something like that.
We see in Scotland a lot now, you're seeing games at 12 o'clock.
That's just the old firm, really, though, isn't it? Because pubs, some of them, I think it's to do with pubs, they can't open, they can open, but... They open later, like after the game. They can't open before the game, which is why they put them at 12, because pubs don't really open until 12, do they?
Yeah.
So it's just basically just to avoid violence.
Fair enough. Let's move on to another game then in League One. And you know what? We'll go to a sort of a high-scoring game. Sheffield Wednesday versus Wickham. This game went the way of Sheffield Wednesday 3-1. One of our URN members, Dominic Allen, was present at the game, so we'll have to get his thoughts on it, maybe get that over on the Instagram page. Mm-hmm. But it's not the start for Wickham, is it? You know, we're getting to the stage now where we're seeing the three teams who sort of ran the playoffs, MK Dons, Oxford and Wickham, you know, all lower mid-table. So
17th, 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
Not going well.
No.
Especially on Gareth Ainsworth's 10-year anniversary at Wickham.
Yes, I did see that. You seem been one of the favourites for the Rotherham job as well.
I'd be very surprised if he went to Rotherham, because he is Mr. Wickham, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. It would be wrong not to see him stood on the sideline with a shirt on, slightly unbuttoned, with snakeskin boots he wears?
Oh, yeah, nice. Style icon.
But anyway, focusing on the game, Sheffield Wednesday sat third, 20 points, 1 point off the top. You know, they've had a fantastic start as well. Up there with... Oh, no, are they third? No, that's...
Fourth,
yeah, sorry. For some reason, it's saying they're third. Sheffield Wednesday are sat fourth in the table. Up there with teams such as Ipswich, Portsmouth and Plymouth. You know, they've had a fantastic start. You know, last year... They sort of came into themselves in the second half of the season, I would say.
Yeah.
But they didn't do enough, obviously, to get promoted. This year, I'm going to say now they are down as one of my strong contenders for automatics, let alone playoffs.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, what are your thoughts on Sheffield Wednesday?
They're immense at home, I think. They've lost 2 in 25 at home so far this year. Obviously, they had a great... basically unbeaten run towards the end of last season, and they've done pretty amazingly so far this season as well, even though they do have probably the highest budget in the league and best squad in the league. We won't comment too much on that. They've obviously still got Barry Bannanen, who scored the second goal in this match after a Joe Jacobson own goal and a Sam Vokes equaliser for Wickham. So yeah, he's obviously shown that he's still got it. How old is Barry Bannanen now?
Barry Bannanen, I think I want to say about 33.
I think he's early 30s, yeah. So he's not past it yet, is he?
No, definitely. For a player in League One, he's perfect, you know, because You see, very recently, even Sam Vokes to a certain degree comes into this bracket. Mm. You're seeing players who used to be, you know, outstanding players in the Championship, maybe Premier League, and they just find them way down into League One towards the end of the careers. And another game that comes to name is Conor Hourihane. Last season, Cambridge had Wes Houlihan.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a fantastic player, it has to be said. And yeah, I remember his goal of the season last year, obviously against MK Dons. It was a fantastic 40-yard looping effort.
That was amazing.
Obviously a bit upsetting, it was against Dons, but you know, it was fair play to him because he saw the vision. He still got the technique to do it. Maybe the legs might give up, not this year, but a couple of seasons, but he's fantastic.
Yeah, and then Callum Patterson. He used to play for Cardiff, didn't he?
Yes. I think
and
so.
And he was a right back and then got turned into a striker or something like
back.
That. Centre back got turned into a striker. So another
opposite,
yeah, of the guy from
Ollie Hawkins.
That
from
guy.
Mansfield.
Yeah. Obviously, I think it might be his 100th appearance for Sheffield Wednesday now. I think it might be 400 or 50th, I think. So, pretty good game for him. Score on an anniversary, I don't know which one. And obviously, that put the game out of reach of Wickham in the last minute.
Yeah, that was that game. So they scored the first goal, obviously, in the first minute, that own goal. But the final goal came in the 96th minute, sort of rubbing salt already in the wounds. If we just keep focusing on the Sheffield Wednesday team, you know, the amount of players that they managed to hold on to when they did get relegated from the Championship. Mm. So we've already mentioned, obviously, Barry Bannon. But, you know, Palmer as well, these fantastic players. And then this year, the transfer window they had, they probably had one of the best transfer windows, I would say. Obviously, bringing in Smith and
Ahikwe.
There we go. Yeah, bringing in Ahikwe from Rotherham. You know, two players that just got promoted, did really well in the league last year. Then they brought Stockdale in from Wickham. Mm. Another immense signing, fantastic goalkeeper. Obviously, they had Peacock Farrell last season on loan from West Brom.
He's now at Preston?
He's at Preston, yes. So he's another fantastic player that they brought in. So. Oh, and then also Malik Wilkes as well.
Yeah, from Hull.
So, I mean, I could sit here all day and just run through their team. But it is just kind of silly when you look at this team. You're looking at the bench.
Yeah, the bench would fit into most squads.
Yeah.
All of their benches, people would probably start for the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, so look, you've got Iorfa, obviously Wilkes and Patterson came on off the bench. Backinson on loan from Bristol City.
Yeah.
Alex Mighton on loan from Nottingham Forest. Saw him play a few times last year.
Yeah, you said he was good.
He was very good. But yeah, so, you know, we're going into a bit of depth today because we've got a bit more time. You know, they're definitely a team you need to keep an eye out and probably got one of the strongest squads in the league.
Yeah, on the other hand, Wickham, not started great, but there is one silver lining in this is they have found a young, very good player in Mehetmi.
Mm.
He's been tremendous this season and it's probably one of the only reasons why they're not in the relegation zone at this point. He scored 5 goals, 1 assist in 10 games. And for a 21-year-old, that's pretty good. And he's coming from the Norwich under-23, well, Norwich, as a free transfer. So I think that's probably one of the signings of the season so far for me.
Well, when we're looking at transfers with Wickham, so obviously when the player goes to Wickham, they're normally there for about, I would say, a good 5 seasons. There's not... Is it just me that thinks that? Because you know, when you see the players that they bring in, they just tend to stick around. You don't normally see Wickham buying and selling players. The only player that comes to mind that they've sold recently is Fred Onodemi, or however you say it, who was the left winger who's gone to Luton.
And Stockdale.
Yeah. But apart from that... but do you get what I mean, though? When they sign players, like
Because Jacobson's been there for like 10 years now. Yeah. A lot of their squad have been there for numerous years, I think, because I think Ainsworth does not like high turnover in his squad. And if you look at it, they probably are one of the least turnover people-y teams in the league, because obviously they've had Tafazoli for a number of years. Mawson, they used to have, and now he's come back. Grimm has been there for a while too. The back line... Did the back line play for each other last time Mawson was there?
There was the only player that
Tafazoli
I'm missing is Stewart, and I think he might have left and gone to Scotland. Hearts, I want to say.
Maybe.
But he was, then again, though, he was there for a good 3-4 years. He was there before they got promoted to the championship. So, apart from that, yeah. Right, though. We'll leave that there. It's quite a long segment on both those teams.
Yeah, but two interesting teams at the moment, to be fair.
Yes, definitely. You know what? I'm going to throw this one over to you. You're going to take the wheel. Shrewsbury Town versus Burton.
Burton look like a completely different team to what they were under Jimmy Flood Hasselbaink. They look more aggressive, faster. Although they cannot finish their dinner yet. I think they. Who was that striker they had at the start of the season that went to Ipswich? Ahadme. If they would have had him up front in this game, they would have won. Yeah. Or at least drawn it. They just missed out finishing touch. They obviously created the most chances in this game. However, Mocha Morosi is just a god in goal. So
yeah.
Yeah, so it's 2-1 to Shrewsbury. Sadie opening up the scoring on the 13th minute with a very well taken goal. He's huge. He is massive. He's 20. He's like, so he's my age. But he's huge. He basically can, if he runs at you, you can't stop him. As you saw it in the Vale, he's scored two goals in two games now. He scored against Vale. They had to like triple up on him every time he got the ball because he's that strong. But then after half time, Burton got an equaliser with Adrebeo scoring the 57th minute. But then Ryan Bowman scoring in the 66th minute. Very typical Ryan Bowman goal. It just gets cut across by Shipley and it's basically tapping. So I think that's basically all Bowman can do, tap-ins at the moment. So that was good for him. But yeah, I think ninth for Shrewsbury. Decent. Best it's been in years. However, I think the performances have been a bit under par of what could happen. I think in most games, some games we haven't deserved to win. But then again, some games we have deserved to win against Accrington, which still is in my mind, that red card.
Yes, I know. We've had a little... Mm. You love a little rant about that one.
Yeah, so I think ninth is probably a fair position for us at the moment. On the other hand, Burton, I think if they carry on playing like they did and maybe getting a great a decent striker in January, then they could be safe because they looked a lot better than Bristol Rovers, Forest Green and Morecambe, who we've all played in recent weeks, and to an extent Vale. So I won't be surprised if they would stay up. I mean, they're obviously 4 points off safety at the moment, which isn't too much, is it? Yeah. Grand scheme of things, with 30-odd games left. So I think they could stay up, and well, I don't think they will, but I think if they start playing the same football as they have in the last two games, they will stay up.
Yeah, they're a team that sort of got the turnaround now. You know, Floyd Hasselbaink's gone. Have they got a new manager?
It's Dino Dino.
Oh, yes, sorry, yes. Little.
Who was Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink's number two.
Yeah. So I think, well, yeah, I always find that interesting, you know, when they give it to the assistant manager. I sort of prefer it, but I quite like it because you've already got the man in the side. He knows how everybody runs. He's already got a fantastic knowledge of all the players. So maybe this could be, you know, as you said, they are starting to play better. This could be a little, you know, bit of genius from the owners. I want to talk about Shrewsbury, ninth in the table, as you said. Yeah, doing very well. In our prediction episode, we did say they were sort of building for next year. So ninth place, as you said, is very good. Obviously, you've got standout players of Dunkley, Bayliss. How good have these new signings been then, do you think? Have they slotted in well?
I think Bayliss and Shipley are finally getting up to speed.
Yeah.
I think Bayliss got the assist for Sadie and he got the pre-assist for the Bowman goal. He basically was an out-of-side-of-the-boot ball to Shipley who ran onto it. It was sexual.
Out, lovely.
It was sexual. So I think them two link up, but obviously they've played before, Shipley and Bayliss. They're going to do really well this season, I think. However, no, Street, that we saw on deadline day, he doesn't look up to it yet. Not like he doesn't have a finishing ability that I've seen yet, but he's only had bits and pieces. But and Sadie looks like a great signing. I'm very happy with that one. That's about it. I mean, we would be doing a lot better if we still had Udo and he was fit. But he's obviously out for the season after being our high scorer last season. So, yeah, it could be better, but it could definitely be a lot worse.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to move on. We'll go to Barnsley, actually. Barnsley versus Charlton, 3-1. Goals from Benson, Norwood again on the score sheet. Devante Cole picking up his goal. And then the goal for Charlton, obviously, from Jack Payne in the 85th minute. Little consolation. Barnsley are now in the playoffs at fifth. Whilst Charlton have, you know, had sort of a good start of the season and now slipped down to 16th. I said Charlton might be my surprise team in that predictions episode. At the verse at the beginning of the season, you know, I was feeling a bit like a genius, but now I'm, you know, sort of regretting what I've said. They've got, on paper, a very good team. We've been talking about teams a lot this episode, but, it, you know, looking at their starting lineup, you've got McGlivery, who they signed from Portsmouth in goal, you know, a very good keeper at this level. Other players that stand out, Scott Fraser, George Dobson, Raksaki on loan from Crystal Palace, Stockley as well, you know, good striker. And obviously Corey Blackett Taylor, you know, they've got good players, but if you could put your finger on it, what would you say was wrong?
I'm not too sure, because they've obviously got probably a top six budget, would you agree?
I would agree.
And they're obviously 16th now, so something's gone wrong, either in the recruitment or managerial tactically. We'll probably have to get a Charlton fan on. So if any freshers are listening to this and are a Charlton fan, we would like to hear from you. Just anyone, really. Charlton fan. Don't have to be a fresher. Anyone, please. It's not going well for them. I think their fans, after the investment they've had in the summer, getting all them players in Swindon and them a Swindon manager, would prefer to be in a playoff battle at the moment, but they're not. And I don't really expect them to get any higher, because in the last four games, they've played teams who, some of them, well, it's been a bit hard. They've obviously played Bolton, Forest Green, Fleetwood and Barnsley, and they've only picked up 2 points, and that was from Fleetwood and Forest Green. But if you're a playoff contender, you would want to beat Forest Green and Fleetwood and take something from Bolton and Barnsley, because Barnsley did not start the season very well, and it's only recently they've started getting better, and Bolton obviously have started well. So, yeah, I think they've obviously come up against a really hard team in Barnsley. A really informed team in Barnsley. What do you think about Charlton and their not great start to the season?
Well, yeah, so as I said a minute ago, you know, they've got a fantastic team. You've said, you know, top six budget. Obviously playing at the Valley, good stadium.
It's packed at the weekend.
Packed at the weekend, yeah. not for a Charlton game, obviously. But, you know, they signed some star players in their squad. Scott Fraser, for example. He was obviously an MK Dons player, but we'll gloss over that. Did really well for us. Then he went to Ipswich, didn't do so well. But he's, you know, he's a player that should be on his way up to the championship soon. Well, could have been up to the championship. And the squad's so good that they're even allowing players such as Alex Gilby to go out and loan to Stevenage. They've got Stephen Sessignon as well in this squad. So I really don't know whether it's because, you know, the new manager coming in from Swindon and the, you know, the two haven't really clicked or something. I don't know.
Just a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, there'll be, like you said, we need a Charlton expert to really get us there. But
there are a few underperformance so far, but and again a few overperformance at the moment.
But if we look at Barnsley then, you know, they've really picked up their form. Obviously, start of the season, we were saying, you know, it's a bit of a shaky start, obviously, because they just got relegated. But the one player that's standing out for me is James Norwood, and he's back on the score sheet. He was on in the game before, I know that for definite. It's just good to see him back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think he's a really good player still at this league. He obviously went to Ipswich and did not hit the heights that people probably thought he would do after being just immense at Tranmere Rovers and Forest Green. The two previous clubs he was at before. So, yeah, it's a bit odd with James Norwood. He's obviously started really slowly this season, but again, new club, he'd have to get into the groove and like understand what the manager expects of him and stuff like that before he can start firing. And I think, is it last three games he scored in?
Yeah, yeah, he definitely scored in the last game. I know that. And I want to say the game before.
He scored the game before. No, all right. So it's only back-to-back goals.
Right.
But he did score against Sheffield Wednesday a few games ago.
That's a big goal as
That's
well.
That's a big when they beat Sheffield Wednesday, which I was surprised at.
Yeah, I was surprised at as well, actually. But yeah, so fifth in table, pretty standard. Charlton not doing so well.
I think we should probably go to Sunday.
Yes.
And have a look at the Argyle versus Ipswich match. So obviously it was 2-1 to Plymouth Argyle at home. They're now unbeaten at home this season against an Ipswich team who were unbeaten all season, home and away. Obviously, Freddie Ladapo scored in the 39th minute against his old team, and he seemed to milk it a bit. Probably not too... I don't think the Plymouth fans would have enjoyed that at all. He's obviously scored a lot of goals for Plymouth and is now scoring against them. But yeah, Plymouth hit back with Ballymumba and Jordan Whittaker.
Yep.
In the 69th and the 75th minute. So they did turn the game around and are now top of the league. Something that, even though we thought they were a really good team, we didn't think they'd be top of the league.
No, yeah, we've said it before. I've said it, definitely said this loads of times, how last year they were the sort of the standout team. Ryan Lowe left, obviously. But top of the league is something which I never really saw on the cards. They're another team that had a really good transfer window, obviously bringing in star players like Finizazin, who's really hit the ground running, and also Ballymumba comes into that bracket on loan from Norwich. There we go. Obviously on loan at Peterborough last year, but yeah, as you said, top of the league, 22 points. Ipswich, on the other hand, they were unbeaten in all competitions. However, they have finally lost. I bet they'll be a bit annoyed after being 1-0 up at half-time to throw this game away. But they are still second, 21 points. It's really tight at the top of the table, it has to be said. We've sort of seen four teams sort of break away now from the rest of the table. It'll be interesting to see how long these teams can keep it up. And also, it'll be interesting to see now how Ipswich respond to this first loss, because sometimes that can play an effect, even though it can be a surprise.
Yeah, I think that Plymouth obviously played really well, and Ipswich might have been an off day for them, especially second half. They didn't look like they were up to the standard that they've taken upon themselves in the last few games.
Yeah, definitely. This was another game which was on Sky as well. Good to see on live TV.
Yeah, especially for Ipswich fans, because, you know, Plymouth is like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from anywhere. So... yeah, good to see it. Over 1,000 Ipswich fans actually made the journey too, which is pretty good on them, to be fair.
It definitely is. Right then, do you want to take us through the rest of the scores?
Yep, I will do. So, obviously on the Saturday, which was the 24th September, Forest Green 0, Exeter 4, Barnsley 3, Charlton 1, Bristol Rovers 0, Accrington 1, Morecambe 1, Cambridge 2, Peterborough 3, Port Vale 0, Sheffield Wednesday 3, Wickham 1, Shrewsbury Town 2, Burton 1, and on the Sunday it was 2-1 to Plymouth against Ipswich.
Lovely stuff.
And that was it. You know what we have forgotten to do?
I was about to say this.
Yes.
Quick fire.
Yes. So we'll have to now go back to League 2.
League 2, League 1.
And then the Championship.
I was trying to edit it in.
Yeah. All right, so this is the quick fire predictions from Harry. Obviously I'm winning at the moment by a lot. So this is Harry's chance to catch up with me, which definitely won't happen. So starting in League 2, Mansfield, Hartlepool.
2-1 Mansfield.
Right. Harrogate, Bradford.
1-0 Bradford.
Wimbledon, Colchester.
1-0 Wimbledon.
Carlisle, Crewe.
1-1.
Crawley, Stevenage.
2-0 Stevenage.
Gillingham, Sutton.
0-0.
Leighton Orient, Newport.
2-1 Leighton Orient.
Rochdale, Doncaster.
2-0 Doncaster.
Salford, Grimsby.
1-0 Salford.
Stockport County, Walsall.
1-1.
Swindon, Northampton.
1-1 again.
Tranmere, Barrow.
0-0.
boring.
You've got to play it safe.
Yeah. We'll now go over to League One and Harry's quick fire predictions for League One. So starting, they're all on Saturday, aren't they?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
So starting with Accrington, Morecambe.
1-1.
Bolton, Lincoln.
2-1 Bolton.
Burton, Forest Green.
1-0 Burton.
Cambridge, Derby.
2-1 Cambridge.
Charlton, Oxford.
0-0.
Cheltenham, Shrewsbury.
Ooh, what do I do here? 1-0 Shrewsbury.
Exeter, Bristol.
3-0 Exeter.
Fleetwood, Barnsley.
3-0 Barnsley.
Ipswich, Portsmouth.
2-2.
MK Dons, Peterborough.
Oh God, 3-0 Peterborough.
Port Vale, Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday, 2-1.
Wickham, Plymouth.
Plymouth, 1-0.
Nice. No minus threes for you this week.
I'm really, you know, it's serious. It's serious now.
And finally, we'll go on to the Championship. We've got one thing to talk about in the Championship because nothing happened.
Yes.
Which was the sacking of Rob Edwards.
Yes.
Yay, we definitely did not see this coming at all at the start of the season when we both basically said he'd be gone in 10 games. Oh, look at that. It's been 10 games and he's gone.
Honestly, they're listening to us.
They are, yeah. Basically, they came out in the summer saying we'll back him thick and thin.
Got rid of him. 10th in the league. It's not terrible, but then again,
not ideal.
Now, if they want to cement that yo-yo form, they need to, you know, get themselves back up into the Premier League.
Yeah, but the thing is, they wanted. They said that they would back him. They said that it might take time, which it has, and they will back him. And it's a long-term thing with Rob Edwards. In the long run, I think he's got what he deserves. Obviously, going behind Forest Green's back and agreeing to sign for Watford without telling Forest Green he was going to talks. So he probably deserves to be sacked within the first 10 games, even though he does get a big payoff and will probably manage in the Championship or High League One next time.
He goes back to Forest Green, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Berkshire looks like he's basically out the door.
Yeah, they're in trouble, aren't they? So maybe.
But would they want him back?
Yeah,
that's the problem because, again, with Shrewsbury, bringing it back to Salah, Paul Hurst obviously did wonders with our squad, but apparently he was in talks before the playoff final with Ipswich to go manage them. So it's basically like that. So he might be seen as a bit of a snake from the Forest Green fans, although I doubt he'd be bothered by that because hardly any Forest Green fans. So. Yeah, I could see it happening, but I think them wounds are still open, really.
Yeah, yeah. But, as you said, that's the only real thing that's happened in the Championship. I'm going to do an Instagram post, I think, later, on all the clubs without managers at the moment, because there seems to be quite a few sackings that have happened over the last few weeks.
Yeah, nice.
Right, should we do my quick fire as the final thing, then?
Yep, so on Friday nights. It's Hull City versus Luton.
Oh, right. 2-2.
2-2, okay. So, Blackburn-Millwall.
2-0 Blackburn.
Blackpool-Norwich.
2-0 Norwich.
Bristol City-QPR.
1-0 Bristol City.
Cardiff-Burnley.
2-1 Burnley.
Coventry-Middlesbrough.
1-0 Coventry.
Reading-Huddersfield.
3-0 Reading.
Rotherham-Wigan.
1-0 Rotherham.
Sheffield United, Birmingham.
2-1 Sheffield United.
Sunderland, Preston.
Let's go 2-0 Sunderland.
West Brom, Swansea.
1-0 Swansea.
Yeah. And on the Sunday, it's Stoke City versus Watford.
2-0 Watford.
I'm sticking with the theme of Watford. They have signed Slaven Bilic.
Have they?
On an 18-month thing.
Right.
Which goes against everything they've said.
Yes.
Previously about Rob Edwards.
Yes. They had quite a few managers last year, didn't they?
Probably like three managers. I think it was three. Maybe.
They're always changing the manager. It's getting crazy now.
And I saw a tweet about just over an hour ago saying that Watford, I think in the last few seasons, have had 17 managers, which is one less than West Ham have had in their whole time as a club.
That's more than MK Dons. But it's not impressive.
Yeah, but that's not as impressive because they're literally younger than you.
Yes. Well, no, if they keep it up, they'll soon have more managers than we've been years a club.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because we're only around 20 years old. We're not even that.
No. Was it 2005?
Two managers. 2004. So two managers, and I reckon they'll be level.
18. One more manager. So I'll be literally sacked and then equal.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, we'll leave that there. Obviously, this episode's been a bit different to our usual ones due to Nations League games. So thank you for bearing with us. We've gone into depth, actually, in quite a few different teams and squads. Mm-hmm. But it's been a pleasure, as usual.
Yep,
anything
always.
You would like to add?
No.
No?
No.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you for listening and tune in next week.